Welcome to another edition of Blah Blah Sports, a special one. We'll get to that in a second. Benny Pinella here. Alongside me, as always, is Sean Smith. Sean, how you doing?
Doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing excellent. We got a lot of stuff to talk about wrestling-wise, a lot of stuff to talk about sports-wise, but that is for next week's podcast. And of course, we have our old friend Stone Cold Steve Koltis. How you doing, buddy?
Hell yeah. How we doing, folks?
Doing great. And then we have another member. We are featuring a quartet of wrestling fans, our friend Jobo. Jobo, what up, bro?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing good.
Here on the sports cast today.
Yes, the only sport that you know to talk about.
The only one.
Yes.
We are talking wrestling today, and it's a special one because it's our wrestling awards, the Blah Blah WWE Awards. Again, it's kind of our answer to the Slammies, but it's a little bit of a twist on it. It's both the best and worst of 2015. And so we'll dive right into it first. Ladies first, as always. We're going to go the best and worst diva.
Oh, I thought you were calling me a lady.
Sean, I would never call you a lady.
Sean, you're pretty.
Don't treat me like a lady.
Oh, I would.
Don't treat me like a woman. Don't treat me like a man. Don't treat me like you know me. Steve, would you like to finish that one off?
Whose theme was that?
You don't remember the rest of it?
No, I can't. I can't remember that one. Who was it?
It's China.
Oh, that's right. God. Oh,
yeah. Okay. Here, I'll play it in the background.
Yeah, what was it? Don't treat me like one. Was it? Was there a little bit of a funk to it? Not really.
No.
Was it? Remember when China's theme was No Chance in Hell, and then they gave it to Vince?
Really? Was it? Because was that when they were in the corporation?
Yeah.
Because it had to be, because originally the No Chance in Hell was the theme for Royal Rumble. And then and then Vince took it over once he became an actual worker, I guess you could say.
Huh. I always like the No Chance entry song.
Oh no, that's a good one. It's very iconic. I like that one too. You know who it is.
Yes, you do.
No chance.
All right, let's get this.
Got China going on. Anyway, all right, so let's start. Let's start with the best diva of 2015. Let's start with the guy that just most recently started watching wrestling. I really want to get his take on this. Jobo, who was the diva that stood out to you
in the last 6 months?
Cool. Yeah. So pretty much just I want to state kind of my experience with WWE. My first episode of Raw that I watched, or anything WWE related, was the Monday Night Raw right after the Night of Champions.
Perfect time to pick it up.
Exactly. So that was
right in the middle of everything hot going on.
Exactly. Yeah, it was, you know, Paige's heel turn was the standout thing there. I think a few people won belts the night before or something
Well, I mean, it was Night of Champions.
Right. So I'm still relatively new. And I know before on this podcast, you guys talked about the problem with the Divas division. And I completely agree with you, especially as someone new to this.
It's pretty glaring.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, there's only like a few divas that I recognize.
And we should also mention that you don't watch NXT.
Yeah, I don't watch NXT. Not because I don't want to. It's just usually I'm busy on Wednesdays, so I usually miss it. But I think I have to start. Does it air on cable or anything?
No,
or
it's on the network.
Okay, then I should probably buy the network.
It should air on cable because its ratings would spike right through the roof. But I think it's ironic. This is my one thing about before we get back into the award thing. It's ironic that in this world of PC, the WWE has this issue. And it's the one thing that I think we all can agree with. It's wrong what they're doing with the Divas division. It's wrong that it's called the Divas division. But
is a derogatory term. Like,
yes.
It's not a nice thing to say.
No, it's not. Yeah. It demeans women, and it's ridiculous. But anyway.
And, like, you know, I keep hearing, like, some divas' names, like Sasha Banks. Like, I hear she's one of the best. I really couldn't tell you, like, that much about Sasha Banks. I don't really.
Because you watch
Those matches are just
3-on-3,
and I don't know any of their names. It's usually, like, Team Bad versus Team Bella, and I don't know who any of them are.
And I think the biggest one of the biggest problems with the divas' vision is that we can't tell who's a face and who's a heel. Because they keep switching on and off over and over again. Like, I can't tell you what the bellows are this week. I have no idea. Last week the Slammies, or was that 2 weeks ago?
That was two weeks ago. Was the Slammies.
2 weeks ago, Nikki Bella was a babyface. I'm confused.
Yep.
But it's
a combination of, you know, got a crazy old man running the show, and the writing has been about as. I will say, I think I wrote better things when I was in the first grade, and I really didn't know how to write in the first grade. Anyway.
So anyway, all the issues of the Diva side, I can really only judge it, me as a new fan.
I'm interested to hear what you have to say.
And mine is, I actually like Becky Lynch a lot. When I was coming up with kind of my categories, I'm coming up with not only if I'm interested in them as a fighter.
But sexually.
Sean. But...
What, that's PG.
Like, interested in that, like, their style of, like, kind of how they fight at their matches, and, like, their gimmick, or their, how they act. And I will say, she's not, like, the, you know, they don't really give her much to say, but I like her whole getup. I like the steampunk look. I think part of the problem with the Divas is that they're all kind of restricted clothing-wise to just, you know, like, a, you know, bra and panties.
Yeah, it's a leftover. It's a leftover of like 2007, where they were doing bikini matches and just not.
No, they are covered up more than they used to be.
They are, and Jobo, we'll get back to you in a second. Their wardrobe is starting to become more fierce and more, you know, both you know, stylish, but also very, you know, cool. Like, there is a coolness to the way Becky Lynch dresses. I will say this though, I like your pick. Becky Lynch does have kind of the full package in terms of a diva.
Yeah, I think she is charismatic based on what I've seen of her. Not that we see a lot of the divas to begin with, but
and to go off of what Sean said, she is very good looking. I mean,
I've never heard that before, Benny.
Sean and me, I think she's our diva crush, or one of our women's wrestler crushes.
I think she's really good, and not only just the getup, but when she's like, I'm kind of interested in her, you know, where she's going right now, with the other divas. So that's my pick. But again, everything I'm picking is from a newcomer standpoint. So there's probably much better choices I could have made. But again, I don't know anything about anyone else.
We will get to those better choices.
Yes. Next up, Steve, I want to get your best diva of 2015.
Okay, my best diva, I picked Sasha.
Okay.
I thought Sasha's the best diva, not because of her work with Team Bad, which is just a terrible misuse of her, but of some of this good match she put on at NXT, especially the barn burner, quite passable best match of the year between her and Bayley, which was still probably one of just the best wrestling matches period that I've ever seen, and also to go along with her character. She has such a presence to her. Like, when she says that she's the boss, she's the boss. Like, I 100% believe it. And there's like, it just, she sells that too. She's not like someone who's kind of like iffy on their gimmick. Like, she walks out, she puts the sunglasses up, and it's like, nope, the boss is here. Like, there's no disputing it.
Now we're I'll let you go in a second, but now we're getting into the point where, okay, Becky, you know, Becky Lynch has done more when she's been up with the WWE than Sasha has, but now we're going to get into that gray area, but I'll let you continue.
Yeah. It's true. Like, as much as I love, like I was saying, as much as I love Sasha, she's just so misused where she is. Yeah. But, and also to go back on her being misused, I don't know. I just see her having so much potential to be like a Trish Stratus level or like Alita level kind of superstar, where they're just loved by everyone and they can like go out there and put on killer matches. But she needs to get away from whatever the hell Team Bad is supposed to be.
Yeah, Team Bad is an absolute dumpster fire, and Jobo, this is where we're going to get to where it's a gray area, because while a lot of people want Sasha to have been the diva of the year, she hasn't done enough at the WWE level, and she's kind of clustered into the, you know, she's with Charlotte and Becky in terms of her call up time. She hasn't been up here long enough, and she's been misused, as this with Steve's point is. It's a gray area as to, again, I think, you know, with Sean going next and myself rounding it out, I think you're going to see an agreement to Sasha being a very good competitor and rightfully so deserving Diva of the Year. The problem is that she's been misused. She's in like, I almost want to say like purgatory to being back in NXT, because they don't do anything with her. You don't see her week to week.
I still feel like they're building some sort of match between her and Charlotte for WrestleMania.
I part of me hopes so, but part of me also doesn't want Charlotte to hold the title anymore. But that's something a whole other day. So far, we have Becky Lynch for Jobo. We have Sasha Banks getting her first vote from Steve. Sean, is your pick to go along that?
Kind of, yes. My selection for best women's wrestler, not Diva.
Attaboy, Sean. Yes. Attaboy,
there you go.
Sean.
There you go.
Attaboy.
It's a tie. I have a tie. It's tied between Sasha Banks and Bayley. I couldn't pick between one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
You're right there, Sean. I'm right
now.
There.
Bayley's the NXT.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Sasha.
I hear she's really good.
I mean, both of them have been outstanding. Bayley, her character has been just completely realized this year in her road to the championship, and now having the championship and defending it, she's probably the best baby face that there is in the company. And that includes the main roster.
Yes.
And Sasha, I couldn't exclude her, even though Bayley's had a great last 6 months. Sasha's been doing it all year long. She won the title back in February.
She had an amazing run as a heel.
Title.
Yeah, as a heel champion.
In that Fatal 4-Way, which was great. Then she had the match with Becky on the next NXT special, which was amazing. Then followed up with two fantastic matches with Bayley. And then moving to the main roster, I mean, say what you want about how they've been using her, but she's still, you know, one of the better divas that they have. So I have to give it to both because I can't leave one of them out.
And again, Sean, I applaud your pick. But so far we have two votes for Sasha Banks. Getting out to my pick, and we're going to make it three. My women's wrestler of the year, as Sean said, Sasha Banks. How much potential can you put in one person, really? And she is perfect when it comes to a heel diva. And you know what? If she ever wanted to, she could flip it and be a face in no time. So again, I think we're all in agreements. Jobo, you'll eventually get there, but she is.
Yeah. Had I started like in January or let's say, and I watched NXT and everything, I feel like I would recognize her. But those matches just don't do anything for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, you know, pay attention to them. And I feel kind of bad not paying attention to them. But it's like, what are you going to do when you have all these – you know, female wrestlers who are very talented,
but
all you just have 3-on-3, and then that's it.
It's almost overcrowding, and you don't know who to root for. And again, they keep turning week after week.
And when
they had the triple threat three man tag team thing that was on a pay per view.
Those aren't men, Betty.
It was a three member triple threat tag team.
Yeah, that was SummerSlam.
That was a disaster. Yeah. That was a disaster. And it ended with Tamina taking the early pin, and that was it.
Yeah,
that was it for Team Bad. So again, to go off Jobo's point, they're just in a way they've protected Sasha Banks' character because you don't get to see it that often, and when you do see it, it's like she's still around. They're still doing stuff with her. I would hope they're building her to do something because right now what they're doing with them is making them the new day is just awful. Anyway, so we got the best. Talk about the worst. This is going to be a little bit shorter, but Jobo, what's your worst women's wrestler of 2015?
Cool. Alrighty. Now, again, I'm only going to be able to judge it off.
I don't think there's a wrong answer to this, Jobo.
Yeah. Like, well, I'm only, you know, again, those like the Team Bella and Team Bad. I know nothing about any of them, so you know, I don't really feel right like picking one of them because you know I just don't really know anything about them. So I'm really going to have to go off like the whole, you know, Paige and, you know, all that storyline. So my worst diva, and she just doesn't do anything for me, Charlotte. Okay. I feel, just me personally, it's like, oh, I'm Ric Flair's daughter. I'm Ric Flair's daughter. That's kind of her only thing. And that, you know, it just seems like it's just this weird thing, you know, face and heel. Like we were saying, again, the problem with a lot of the divas, you know, they're face 1 minute, heel the next. And just Charlotte just doesn't do anything for me. I don't know. Paige is like kind of in the middle for me, between Becky and Charlotte, but Charlotte, I'm just, you know, if I watched it earlier, I probably would see maybe why she may have gotten the diva belt, but right now it doesn't seem like it belongs with her.
Yeah. I see where you're coming from, Jobo. I see where you're coming from in the point that WWE creative kind of is in a little bit of a loop where, you know, to push one face, they have to go and put them with whoever they're related to, ergo Roman Reigns. Oh, he's The Rock's cousin. Remember, he's The Rock's cousin? Remember, he was the
right. He's
the son of these Samoan people? Oh, he's also cousins with the Usos. Like him already. Moving on to another worst, Steve, Worst woman's wrestler of 2015. I think I kind of know where this is going.
Worst woman's wrestlers. All right, so I mean, I've been watching with you guys for a while now. I've seen everybody. Divas division is so stale. You know, nothing really big going on. That being said, as far as the position she's in, to be able to do something with it, Charlotte is by far my worst diva.
Oh, another vote for Charlotte.
She's the champ. She is. She has the wrestling pedigree, obviously from her father, but she just. Hearing her voice annoys me to no end. Like, she just, like, she does not connect with, I mean, this is all obviously personal preference, but I mean, I feel like I can speak for a lot of people when I say Charlotte cannot connect with the audience.
Wow.
And she comes across as so, I don't know, it's just so disingenuous and just so, like just one-dimensional. Like you guys are saying, it's all like, I'm Ric Flair's daughter. Got to do it with Flair. Woo! And she's even wooing like him. She's using his gimmick. Like, I don't know, but I could go more on this, but I'm just going to say Charlotte is by far my worst diva, considering the position she's in and the family she has.
Once again, I see where you and Joe Barr are coming from. I thought with you having a larger perspective on the divas division and NXT women's division, you would have picked someone differently. I think Sean may go a different direction, but I wouldn't be surprised if Charlotte gets three or more votes here. Sean, who's your worst women's wrestler?
That's not Charlotte. I'm actually very surprised about the Charlotte pick.
Yeah, I was a little bit shocked there too.
Because there are some other options. Like, for example, even though they haven't wrestled, you could have picked either Lana or Summer Rae. Mm-hmm. That's not my pick, but I'm just pointing out that you could have picked. My pick for worst, and I'll use the term diva for this one, worst diva is Brie Bella.
There we go.
She, and I thought about taking Nikki because one, she hardly defended her title. And when she did, most of the matches up until the NXT women came up were pretty lackluster. But I think what was worse was, her sister Brie, because not only, was she in these matches with her sister, and after that horrible storyline from a year or two ago, she works like a babyface, even though she's a heel. She does the Daniel Bryan kicks. She plays to the crowd, even though she is 100% a heel with her sister, and she's still working this style that's meant to get crowd reactions because people are going to remember her husband, Daniel Bryan. It's the most ass-backwards way to work. And because of that, she's the worst diva because she doesn't know how to work.
I think you just opened up something that I wanted to hit on again. It's kind of following the Roman Reigns Charlotte thing where it's like, oh, she's married to Daniel Bryan. Well, you should like her because she's married to Daniel Bryan.
But she's a heel. Like, she was in Team Bella.
Yeah, that's the... Well, again, a lot of the
like, who's letting her do this?
WWE creative. A lot of the reasons why we despise some of these wrestlers that we'll talk about as the show progresses is because creative is in just such of just a hole. It's not even funny. But okay, so a Brie Bella pick is not what I thought you were going to pick. I have a tie. I did vote for Brie Bella here.
Oh man.
Also Eva Marie.
Yeah.
Eva Marie. See, I don't even know who that is.
NXT girl. She was in the WWE for a brief period. They sent her back down to NXT. Eva Marie, the reason I picked her, and I gave her more of the vote over Brie Bella, but Brie Bella, for every reason you listed, is just she can't do anything in the ring. Eva Marie is a different kind of dangerous in the ring. Not because she's not good. It's because not only is she not good, but she can physically hurt someone. And she's done that.
Yeah, she has. I thought about picking picking Eva Marie, but are you laughing at Heath Slater?
I'm laughing at Heath Slater in the Job Squad. I'm so sorry.
Oh, okay. God.
Who is that? It's Heath Slater, Adam Rose, Bo Dallas, and who's the other guy?
Curtis Axel.
Curtis Axel. I'm sorry to distract from the show. I couldn't hold that in. I'm sorry. That was bad.
I'm waiting next week. They'll come out with JOB shirts.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I the only reason why I didn't pick Eva Marie was just because she is in NXT and she wasn't on TV for the entire year, whereas Brie Bella was. So I feel like she had a larger body of work this year. That was my only tiebreaker there.
All right, next topic we're going to hit on, I believe, is the best and worst feud of the year. Now, this is a weird thing, because it's not just feud, it's also storylines intertwined to this as well. But there have been a lot of bizarre feuds this year, and repetitive feuds, and ones that weren't that good, ones that were really good. I want to hear your guys' best and worst feuds. We're going to start this time with Steve. Steve, what was your best feud of 2015?
My best feud by far, even though it ended funky, was I loved Cena and Owens for some reason. I don't know. That one really just – that struck home for me, especially that first match they had, which I'll elaborate on later. But, my God, it was so cool to see a guy like Kevin Owens, who's busted his ass his whole career, and all his own like indie – and like the indies, and you know, and then coming into NXT and working and stuff. It was cool to see him come up and face the arguable, well, I mean, not arguable, the inarguable face of the company and win.
And pin him clean,
Pin him clean and have a, not just have like a quick match, they had a barn burner. They were kicking butt, but that by far was my best. I wrote it in there, even though it was with Kane. I really, for some reason, I liked Kane and Rollins because I really loved the build. I got to say, the build of that was great, especially with Rollins treating corporate Kane like crap for so long.
So you
really
like when he came out of the ambulance and he stepped on his leg to correct
I loved when he did that, when he had that Jason moment where he was limping and all of a sudden he just looked at his leg and stomped and he was better and it made that horrible crack. that was almost very close to vintage Kane for me. I was like, oh man, he's that unstoppable monster again. But that ended up being a crap show in itself. So,
Sean, we're gonna go to you now. What was your best feud of 2015?
You kind of mentioned it there. My best feud was Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens from NXT.
There we go.
It started very late into the prior year and led up to the title match where Kevin Owens just murdered Sami Zayn.
Yes.
Just murdered him. And it's a very simple story. You know, best friend turns on the other best friend, and he's going for the title. And, you know, injures him. He comes back, injures him again, and here we are. But honestly, for this year, like, most feuds have been pretty lackluster.
Lame.
Did Heath Slater just pin Dolph Ziggler?
Heath Slater just pinned Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, God.
Good Lord. Most of the feuds this year have been pretty lackluster, so I feel like this is the best out of a bunch that was just meh.
Again, I think what you hit on is a very simple storyline, getting back to the basics with their storylines, and you know, maybe adding a personable element to it, and it set it over the top. Very easy. You know, again, don't want to sit here and bash the writers that much, but it's not that hard to write a good story sometimes, especially one that's built in. So I like your pick, Sean. Jobo, what was your best feud? Even though you had a short window, what was your best?
Yes.
Feud?
Yeah, there are only like a handful of very major feuds that I saw. You know, a bunch of minor feuds, but none really stood out to me there. I have a second place and a first place. I'm just going to mention the second place very briefly. Was Brock versus Taker. And that whole thing, I caught the tail end of it. It was like right before Hell in a Cell is when I kind of got into it. But everything I saw with it, I really liked, you know, when Paul Heyman would cut the promos, and the fight itself was, I thought, very, very good.
So you missed all the nut shots.
all the low blows. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, like when they're ripping up the ring, I really like that. But I think my number one, and this is just because it's the one I was the most exposed to in this period, Rollins and Kane.
Okay.
And that I enjoyed it because going into it, I kind of – that first episode was – I saw the interaction between the two of them, and I understood, like, everything, you know, about them at that point, you know, kind of the buildup. I grasped onto it very quickly. And then kind of the twists and turns it took, you know, at, like, seeing Kane, how he would try and, like – you know, try and get one up over Rollins by pitting him against, you know, different people. The Lumberjack match I thought was very good. So I really like it. Again, the fight itself, I thought, you know, wasn't the best fight, the concluding fight.
Mm-hmm.
But just I liked the build-up to it. I thought it had really good build-up.
For me, it was the Bunny and Adam Rose. I'm just kidding. It was Taker. it was Taker and Lesnar. Taker and Lesnar will define 2015. Not always for what happened in their SummerSlam match, but kind of, you know, what it meant. Like, this is the last big rivalry for the Phenom. Like, this was it. And And in a lot of ways, it was not very well done. But again, the matches, especially the final match in Hell in a Cell, as Jobo, we talked about earlier, but it was a great match at Hell in a Cell. It really peeled back the layers of what wrestling is. And again, to me, that was the rivalry of 2015. Again, I can see where Sean comes from with picking Sami Zayn and going with Kane Rollins. Again, you can't go wrong with a lot of these rivalries. Okay, let's talk about not the best ones, but the worst ones. And I want to start this one out.
Benny, did you give your best?
I gave my best, and it was Taker Lesnar.
Oh, okay.
My worst, we're going to go in reverse here. My worst was Ziggler and Breeze. Why? Because not only did Breeze get pinned clean, but it played out on Twitter. How asinine is that? Why would you not play it out in the ring? Plus, they had every opportunity to actually get some heat behind this rivalry, and they decided to just waste it by letting Ziggler get pinned clean against Dean Ambrose. That's the reason why the WWE is where it's at, is because these writers don't take opportunities when they should and don't know how to write. And that's the bottom line. Is Ziggler Breeze for me was the worst feud of this year. So Jobo, what was your worst feud?
All right, now this one, it's kind of weird because like the feud, like the matches themselves are like the same exact thing every single time. And my least favorite feud this year, or these 6 months, I should say, was the League of Nations versus the Family.
A feud?
I consider it a feud.
It was a feud,
and here's why. The matches were the same thing every single time. Would have Roman Reigns and Sheamus fighting. It's supposed to be on one-on-one match. And then all of a sudden, it's a close-up. Roman Reigns is about to, you know, take down Sheamus. All of a sudden, you see Rusev come in, and he tackles Roman Reigns. And then Alberto Del Rio comes in, and like, oh, it's the League of Nations. And like, oh, that it's, you know, every time those two are going to step in the ring. I wouldn't be surprised if tonight the same thing happened. The League of Nations came out. And then, you know, same deal, the Family would come out every once in a while. But just, you know, I the only one in the Family that I actually, you know, find myself enjoying is Dean Ambrose. The rest I just can't get into. Mm-hmm. And the League of Nations, same deal. I just can't get into any of them. And because the fights were the exact same thing every single time, that's why that's my least favorite feud.
Well, again, League of Nations is featuring currently two maestros of the mid-card in Alberto Del Rio, so... You know, what, I can't blame you with that one. Sean, what was your worst feud of 2015?
I'll give an honorable mention to Charlotte versus Paige feud from earlier.
Oh, God.
But my award for worst feud of the year goes to Dolph Ziggler and Rusev. We spent a better part of 5 to 6 months on this, fighting over Lana and then
the
Summer
one that
Rae.
Wouldn't die. Yeah.
And then dropping it altogether because of TMZ. It was a train wreck every week, and the fact that they just dropped it like that is just unheard of.
Their build up for it was they wanted to do a mixed tag match that never ended up happening because someone was always hurt.
She hurt herself.
Lana hurt herself, and then she was coming back, and then Rusev broke his foot.
By the way, was Lana on TV earlier? Because I didn't see her with Rusev.
No, she wasn't.
Oh.
Nah, it was Rusev and Del Rio.
Yeah, I know, but
I guess Del Rio's his Lana now.
Whatever.
I vaguely remember that mainly because I was trying to push it out of my mind. All right, Steve, round us out. Your worst feud of 2015.
Well, you mentioned Dolph Ziggler and Tyler Breeze, which I have to say I heavily considered that because, like you said, playing out a feud on Twitter.
Try
to make social media relevant. It's like, okay, now you guys are really scraping at the bottom of the bucket.
Would you say that's an honorable mention?
Yeah, or in this case, it should be a dishonorable mention.
Okay.
But actually, surprised no one else touched on it, but my worst feud of this year definitely had to be Randy Orton and Sheamus.
Ooh.
My God.
I
forgot about that.
How many times did we have to see that?
With no story,
you'd have Sheamus run in and beat up Randy Orton and run out. And then next week, Randy Orton would just run in and beat up Sheamus and then run out. and then they'd have a match, and then next week Sheamus would run in and beat up Randy Orton. There was no story. Yeah. There was no reason for the attacks. There was no reason for animosity. It was just like, you two fight because I said so. And
yeah, they literally would just show up and just fight each other for no reason.
Like, I remember, Randy had a match with someone from the Authority. It wasn't I think it might have been Kane. I think it was Kane. And all of a sudden, Sheamus just barrels out of the crowd and bro kicks him. And it was like, okay, hopefully we get a story out of this. And then next week, Sheamus is out talking about how he beat up Randy Orton. Randy Orton comes out from behind, from backstage, and just RKOs the hell out of him. And I was like, well, I mean, I guess that's a story. It's like, you hit me, I'm going to hit you. But at least, even though I hate to give them any credit, but at least the Dolph Ziggler and Tyler Breeze, they had previous encounters where they didn't like each other. That's giving them a little too much credit.
I completely forgot about Orton and Sheamus. Steve, way to dig that up, buddy. That, oh my God, that one.
I could not let that one go. I've been thinking about that for.
Oh my God. Well, as always, once we're done with something negative, we have to go back to something positive here. Let's talk about something that Sean's going to really like. The best NXT call-up of 2015. Now, I have a hunch we're going to pretty much be on the same page with a lot of these bests, but I'd like to take the lead here. My best NXT call-up of 2015 to me is Kevin Owens. That guy is the future. He is probably going to be one of the best heels this company has ever seen, and I cannot wait for him to take a stand at WrestleMania. I'm sure you guys are more inclined to agree, but Steve, I want to hear from you. Who's your best NXT call-up so far?
You took the words right out of my mouth. Adrian Neville. No, I'm just kidding.
Who's Adrian Neville? I don't know who that is.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. He's Neville now.
That guy.
Yeah. He's the guy that's been on two pay-per-views since he's been on.
But you took the words right out of my mouth, dude. Kevin Owens is just, he's another one of those people, like I was talking about with Sasha Banks before, how they have a presence. Kevin Owens just has that presence of just pure ass kicker. Like, he just comes out and it's like, this guy's here to beat some people up. And just how he got called up and brought right into that feud with Cena, just like, hey, we're going to call you up and you're going to feud right ahead with the face of the company. It just cemented how really good he is. And then he proved how good he is.
Yeah, there's not a lot of guys that Triple H is going to protect on that roster, but Kevin Owens is a guy that we can see that Triple H has been protecting.
He's 100% a Triple H guy. But yeah, without getting too far into it, I could go on and on and on and on about Kevin Owens, but just without a doubt, he was the best call-up.
All right. Again, two votes for Kevin Owens so far. I get the feeling there's going to be three or four here. But Jobo, I'm really interested to hear your NXT call-up because, off the show – you actually questioned us as to who has been in NXT. So
yeah, I just don't know. You know, like who
John has been Cena.
But I do have an honorable mention, and then my pick. My honorable mention actually is Neville. Because I like his air acrobatics. I just like the way he just moves in the air. I think it's really cool. Now, I don't think they're going with a very good direction with him, kind of making like him this like superhero kind of thing. But just wanted to, you know, I really like when he's flying around in the air.
If I can say real quick, Neville's another one. Not to write him off, but he won NXT call-up of the year for the Slammies or whatever it was. Rookie of the year for the Slammies. And that was purely asinine. He's a great wrestler. Don't get me wrong. He's great and he'll have a great career, but he is not anywhere close to Kevin Owens. But anyway, your pick.
My pick, I have to say, is Kevin Owens. I have to say, I agree with all of you. It's Kevin Owens. When I first started watching it, I saw, you know, this guy's a jerk, you know, like he's really mean. He doesn't play by the rules. I'm like, but that's what makes a good heel. Once I started to understand, you know, what a heel really was. And I'm not only that he's strong, he is really good. And I just like the matches that I've seen with him are really interesting. How his character, he gets mad and, you know, when he loses and then all of a sudden just keeps pounding on the guy. I just really like that. And I think just physically he's really good. So what if he's not like a muscular kind of, you know, traditional look, like, you know, he's not Alberto Del Rio or anything. He's just a big guy. He's strong. And I do think that, you know, over time he's going to be a really, you know, big player in WWE.
They struck gold when they got Kevin Owens, formerly known as Kevin Steen. All right, Sean, NXT call-up of the year.
Does Chris Jericho count? I'm just curious.
I don't believe Chris Jericho.
Sean, I would like to comment. Did you hear that lack of a pop there?
No, because my TV's on mute.
Okay, but I have my TV on just enough so I can hear, but it doesn't distract. And there was probably like three people like, yay.
Who was that? Who just came out?
Chris Jericho just popped out for a surprise thing. God. And he's kind of going against, he's going off on the New Day, but everybody's like, please go away.
Oh, God.
Anyway, my best NXT call by default is Kevin Owens. There's no one else.
I mean, again,
no, there's no one else.
Okay. All right. So we'll put a kaput to that. All right. So we talked about our best. Sean, who's your worst?
Worst, Tyler Breeze. Again, no one else.
Don't want to go into it any more than that.
He came up. He lost his first match. He was in that championship tournament that he lost. And this whole Summer Rae thing's been horrible. Apparently, they just broke up. I don't know what's going on with him.
You also have to remember, he made his debut on a promo on SmackDown.
Yeah, I know.
You can't bury someone further than that. Jobo, are you inclined to agree?
Yeah, Tyler Breeze is mine as well. You can have someone with a really cool gimmick, but you know his gimmick is a selfie, that's his thing. He takes selfies.
I mean, there is more to his gimmick that they did in NXT. They just haven't done it on the main show.
Yeah, and again, I wouldn't know any of that.
I know.
Also, I know Tyler Breeze is the guy who takes selfies and he walks around with Summer Rae. Like,
I think we're gonna get a clean sweep here, really quick, before we get into Tyler Breeze. Steve, is Tyler Breeze your worst?
Yeah, without a. All right. He literally came up, lost his match, and now he's a jobber. He's a jobber, right, who takes selfies.
Is he going to be joining Heath Slater's group?
Oh, by the way, they have a name now. They have a name now, Sean. They're now Team Social Outcast.
Oh,
that's
my
awful.
God.
That's their name. That is their name. I swear to God.
Social Outcast?
Is it too late to work in my picks for the worst tag team?
No.
they cut a promo that was almost New Day-ish and churchy. Like, it was almost like religious. It was, I don't even know.
I hope the Dudley smash him into tables and lights him on fire.
Oh, God.
Please, in that order.
All right, just to round out our Tyler Breeze pick, mine's Tyler Breeze as well. And again, Sean hit on it. There's more to his character than what they played out. Didn't they get rid of the whole thing where like the camera also showed what was on the camera he had in front of his face?
I think they started bringing it back. But like, there's other things to his character. Like, he's a model. Like, they've never mentioned that he models. He travels around the world for his modeling gigs. Like, he's basically a model, but he does wrestling on the side, and they've never really explored that at all.
No, they kind of made him like, oh, he's just Adam Rose. And again, that if there's anything we've learned about Adam Rose, it's that is one way to end a man's wrestling career is make him dance around with a bunny. And I feel like Tyler Breeze is headed that way. All right, so that was absolutely pitiful, but I'm glad we're all in agreement. All right, let's talk about most improved wrestler. Now, Jobo, you kind of can get a pass here if you'd like, but
yeah,
I
didn't have anything really for this, to be honest, because I don't know who's improved.
Yeah, who's improved in the last 6 months?
Yeah, like everyone's been the as long as I've been watching, kind of the exact same. So I think I'm going to have to take a pass on this one.
Okay,
but I'm very curious to hear, you know, about what you guys have to say.
Okay, agreed. So, you know, you get a free pass here. You know, next year, our next blah blah WWE Wrestling Awards, you will have someone for this. But Sean, who's your most improved wrestler?
My most improved actually isn't a wrestler. My most improved is Corey Graves, the NXT commentator.
Hey!
Compared to what he was at the same time last year, he's become leaps and bounds the best color guy that they have in the company. And he's as close as we're going to get to a Jesse Ventura or a Bobby Heenan on commentary, playing the heel role and but not distracting away from the match, and also making sense at the same time. I wish that they would bring him up on the main roster, but I know he would get shuffled into the three-man booth and be lost. So, but yeah, he is my pick for most improved.
I have to say there hasn't been first things first is I applaud you for that pick, man. That that is out of left field and perfect.
I didn't have many others.
Yeah, but yeah, he really has come up from, again, he's taken to the commentary role perfectly. So Sean, I love the pick. Steve, who's your pick? Most improved.
I gotta say, for everyone who's listening, I wrote all my stuff down on a piece of paper, as we all did, so we could remember and bring up key points. I did every other category besides this, and it took me probably 10 minutes trying to think of anything I could write.
Think positively.
I wanted to say the most improved was probably the ringside announce table, just because, you know, it's breaking better now. You know, it's not failing to break as much anymore.
Don't ask Triple H that.
Yeah, no, he got busted up. But in reality, all jokes aside, I don't know, man. I mean, I'm probably gonna catch crap for this, but I feel like, as far as improvements going, I feel like Roman Reigns could be improving a little bit.
Oh.
Kind of, just because the crowd's starting to get behind him. He could be connecting a little bit more.
I don't know.
It feels like he's headed up. I mean, the one thing I will say is, I mean, look at The Rock's first gimmick. Look at Triple H's first gimmick. Like, look at Stone Cold's terrible gimmicks. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a really terrible spot that they started. Yeah. I mean, with Triple H, you know, he had Jean-Paul Levesque when he was in WCW. Yes. He was a terrible French aristocrat.
And
what did they do when they brought
Stone Cold
was stunning. He was stunning Steve Austin. And then, but even worse than that, at least it was stunning. He had a gimmick and a persona.
Yeah, the ringmaster was worse.
Yeah, I was going to say, they brought him up to WWE. He becomes the ringmaster. He can't use any of his personality. And they put, didn't they put him with the Million Dollar
Man? Yeah, DiBiase.
The Million Dollar Man was his mouthpiece. So, like, you take a guy who was a great talker in ECW and in WCW, and he can't open his mouth.
And to that point, again, we saw potential for a small gimmick change to Roman Reigns where he loses the one night to Triple H where he just went off on him, started beating him up. We saw potential there for almost a Stone Cold big guy-ish angle where, oh, he could just be this guy goes around and just beats people up. That's going to be cool, a cool face that does things for, like, playing off of what the Shield was as purely a face. That could have helped Roman Reigns.
Yeah, but his character in the Shield, exactly.
Yeah, there's hope for him, but I have to contest your pick because I don't really see if he's changed since whatever. But
I just want to say real quick, to kind of support what Steve said with Roman Reigns. I was at the Monday Night Raw Live when they were in Philly, the one where Vince McMahon returned, and Roman Reigns won the title. And when he won that title, the energy in that room or in that building just went through the roof. When he won it, everyone was going nuts, and myself included. I'm not really that big on Roman Reigns, but I found myself, like, you know, rooting for him and cheering. So I think, you know, over time he could pick up.
Yeah, again, there's hope for him, but they need to do some changes here. Number one's an attire change, and number two is the music. But again,
exactly. I just want to be clear. I want to say, I'm not 100% behind Roman Reigns saying he's the best. I'm not saying that there's nothing that needs to be fixed. I'm not saying he's a perfect wrestler. All I'm saying is, as far as looking for improvement in the wrestlers, I see him starting to steep out of this, like, terrible valley he's been in, and maybe being on an incline. That's all I'm trying to say.
Again, I haven't seen someone that wooden on a microphone since Baron Corbin, or that stiff since the ringside announcer's table that Triple H.
Oh God, his mic work is absolutely atrocious.
He's got to knock it off with the tater tot things.
Oh God,
he tries to insult people with like first grade insults, and it's just like, dude, you're this giant Samoan. Why
you're
are you telling
your face?
You're a stinky butt. Like, come on, man.
Suffering succotash.
Oh God.
Oh my God, Sean. I was just about to say that.
Oh my God. The list of Roman Reigns lines. All right. Really quickly, my first improve before we get to Sean is John Cena. That man came from not everyone hated what he did in the ring. The five moves of doom. He's starting to grow on that now. Of course, he had the second rope stunner, which was stupid. His drop kicks are still pretty bad, but he's been in a couple of really good matches. Again, he's getting there. I think working with Kevin Owens helped him. There's not anything that can help John Cena, but my most improved was John Cena. Sean?
I already went.
I already went?
Yes.
Sean said Corey Graves.
Corey Graves.
You even gave me props for it.
I'm losing my brain here. All right. all right. So let's talk about least improved.
All right. You want me to go?
Yes.
All right. My least improved honorable mention, the Roman Reigns. because realistically, he didn't change much over the last year. But my least improved, and this is not hard. I mean, I also was trying to think, because really, how many people have just gone in the deep end of mediocrity over the last so ever long? But I gave my least improved to Braun Strowman because...
oh, God.
He's been up for almost 6 months now, I would say. Maybe even a little less. Maybe 5 months. And he's exactly in the same spot. You would think maybe in the tag team he'd be able to be hidden in there, and he's not. Yeah. He's so damn awkward. Like, you can clearly tell he doesn't know what he's doing, and everything he does, whether it's a punch or a kick or anything, is just completely awkward. The only thing you can do is just hug him and put him in the submission.
Even
I never
Ray
thought I'd say this.
Yeah,
Bubba Ray was laying some potatoes on him, as Steve alluded to in an earlier podcast. I want to say this. I've never seen a big guy act like he's scared, but he wrestles like he's scared to hurt someone. Like, he just, because he doesn't know what he's doing. So he doesn't connect. He doesn't go full out. He just looks like he literally is scared to be in the ring. So I agree with you, Sean. I think he's a worthy candidate of least improved. Steve, who's your least improved?
I had to think about this one for a while, just because, like, there's so many, like, I'm just going to flat out say it. There are so many bad wrestlers, it's not funny. Like, there are just so many bad wrestlers on this roster that it is just, like, it's insulting to the product. But as far as least improved, now, I'm not saying he's not a good wrestler, because he's awesome and he's one of my favorites. But as far as his gimmick's concerned, I feel like Dean Ambrose is the least improved character, because this whole lunatic fringe thing they have going, what are they doing with it? Like, oh, he's going to change out Michael Cole with a fishbowl, and I'm going to jump off the ropes and be all super crazy.
I'm going to breakfast for dinner.
Yeah, no, like, he has the potential to be really cool, like an off-the-hinge crazy guy. Like, he had his old gimmick, Dean Moxley, or I think it might have been just Moxley.
Johnny Moxley, yeah.
That was awesome. He was a psychopath. He was out of his mind. But I love that
gimmick. Also wasn't a very PG character either.
Oh, not at all. I mean, I feel like they could... For this product, I feel like they could tone it down to the point where, you know, he's not being too crazy, but still crazy enough to where it's cool. It's just, but he could be an almost modern day Raven without some of the weirder stuff.
Hmm. That is an interesting pick.
Yeah, as far as potential goes, that's not being used. That's what I looked at more, and that would definitely have to be Dean Ambrose, because he's such a good, he's a good wrestler and he's a good worker, but they're doing nothing with him and he's not improving anywhere.
Yeah, again, we're getting a theme here of people not changing. My vote's to Roman Reigns. Again, if you put up a photo of Roman Reigns today and Roman Reigns 2 years ago, what would be different?
I'll give you that.
Well, the one thing that I would be looking for is, has his work in the ring gotten any better? And honestly, they've used more smoke and mirrors than they have before with Roman Reigns. And, I can't say that he's become a better worker.
No,
he's been put in better spots, but he's not a better worker.
I'll give Roman Reigns this. The ending to the Raw, I believe it was 2 or 3 weeks ago when he beat Sheamus in that absolute amazingly written Raw. That was a great moment, and of course when he beat Big Show going back further, that was a cool moment. But again, I'm going to say it again. If you showed a video of Roman Reigns in a singles match 2 years ago and Roman Reigns in a singles match today, what has changed?
He comes the title's out to on the line. Music. That's a change.
Again, we're furthering the issues here, is that he has not changed. And not even that. I would even argue in some ways he's gotten worse, because after the Royal Rumble last year when he won it, the crowd has I've never seen the crowd treat a wrestler this way before. He would go anywhere he went, he'd get booed or no reaction. It was just such an awkward, because we're supposed to like this guy. And I want to like him, but they don't do anything with him. Or they don't do anything cool with him. And when they do stuff cool with him, they bury it with a weird line like tater tots or...
Yeah, the closest I can...
Something stupid.
The closest I can think of being similar is when The Rock first came in, when he was Rocky Maivia. And everyone hated him. And eventually they did turn him heel. And that ended up working into the Rock character.
I was about to say that was when he became the Rock.
Yeah, but it obviously they didn't do that with Roman Reigns, so you know, what are you gonna do?
That's true. But,
all right.
All right, moving on. So that does it for best or most and least improved. Jobo, you're allowed back in the room, so to speak.
Thank you.
Let's talk about this kind of angle thing, best and worst angle. Now, Sean, do you want to define what an angle is?
Yes.
His name's Kurt.
His name is Kurt. He is the best angle. An angle is basically any sort of event that happens within a storyline that progresses or begins that said feud.
Okay.
Simple enough.
All right. Again, so the viewers at home won't understand. So for Jobo, short amount of time, you haven't seen much. I just want to hear really what you have to say. Your best angle, taking in what Sean had said.
Now, as you guys can all attest, I had a hard time grasping what an angle was today. I was asking you guys
Kurt
what
angle.
It is. But
we've established.
Yeah, well, Kurt Angle, now obtuse. I understand. So we're going with best angle first.
Yes.
Yes.
Cool. And now this may not be an angle.
We will judge.
This is something that it was part of. It was like during a feud, but it was kind of a promo.
Okay.
More so, and I think it kind of just to help to kind of start. It's one of the few moments that really stands out to me as something I was really interested in. And that was Bray Wyatt's promo right before Survivor Series, when he's talking about how he and his family have taken down The Undertaker and Kane and all. You knew how that feud was going to end.
Did something happen in that promo?
I just really like just Bray Wyatt and just how intense he was.
All right, I'll let you get away with it, but technically that's not an angle, but I'll let you get away with it.
Okay. Cool.
Jobo, are you talking about when he summoned the lightning and the fire?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, that is an angle.
Yeah, that is that's a complete angle.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just really, really into that. And that was like the first time I saw somebody that into his character and that into what he was doing.
Clearly, I've never seen Goldust.
Yeah, well, I did see him in the pre-show for the Raw I was at live.
Best pop of the night.
I really, really liked that moment. It really stood out to me as someone who, you know, unfortunately at that point in time was just losing and losing, but still was giving it his all.
Yeah, there's a certain beauty to the way Bray Wyatt's career has gone and the way he's handled it too. It's like this guy could be causing so much more behind the scenes trouble than he has, but he just keeps his mouth shut. He knows that one day he's going to get that push, and one day he is going to, you know, convinced one day we're going to see.
One day he's going to win a feud.
One day he's going to win something. Yeah, you're right. Steve, your best angle of 2015.
My best angle by far had to have been Brock Lesnar destroying J&J Security's Cadillac and then hitting that guy in the audience with the car door.
What? Yes, he did.
He actually did. He if you watch that again, Jobo, do you know what I'm talking about? With the car?
No, I.
Okay,
I'll
give you a brief rundown. So Seth Rollins had this little security force that followed him. It was Joey Mercury and what's the other guy's name?
Jamie Noble.
Jamie Noble, thank you.
They were like champion.
Yeah, they're these two really little short guys, and they pretty much followed around Seth Rollins, and they were his security. But the whole joke was because they're small. But so Seth Rollins was saying like, you guys have always done such a great job, and we get you this really nice car. So he got him a brand new 2015 Cadillac CTS. And they took and they decked it out and they put like camo on it and put like big spoilers and stuff on it. And they were so proud of it and driving it around. And then one night on Raw, Brock Lesnar shows up with a box next to the car and opens the box and pulls out two axes and proceeds to take apart the entire car. And just like he throws the car door.
And he rips the car door off with his bare hands.
Now, I just want to say, I looked up the price of that car and how much that car cost.
Spare no expense.
That's a six-figure car. Cadillacs aren't cheap.
No, they're not. But yeah, no, I just that was one of those really moments that had me like, I mean, I hate to use the term because I sound like a little like smarty pants, but I was marking out. Like I literally was like, oh my god, and I was freaking out.
You marking out, bro?
I was marking out like crazy, bro. I was standing up and laughing. And I thought it was one of the cooler things they'd done, especially with a dude like Brock Lesnar, just a behemoth of a human being. Just watching him rip that car apart while Jamie Noble and Joey Mercury and Seth Rollins are in the ring, like, oh my god!
Yeah, not the first time Brock's accidentally thrown things into the crowd.
But Jobo, so he rips the car door off and he throws the car door, and the inner lining of the car door, like the plastic on the inside, it flew off into the audience and hit some guy in the face.
Oh my god!
He was okay. Yeah.
He was fine. It kind of glanced off him, but you could see it in the replay. Like, ooh, he just ate that car door.
Yeah. Probably paid that guy so much and gave him so much not to sue.
Well, yeah, wasn't that the thing? Like, he was going to sue, and they were like,
No.
He was never going to sue. But
I'm sure they hooked him up.
WWE released a statement saying that they checked on him and that they took care of him. And you know, he got to go backstage with the doctors. I'm sure he got to hang out.
I thought you were going to say the divas.
Brock Lesnar could punch me in the face right now.
Maybe they gave him a title shot.
Yeah.
Lost a backstage match to a Curtis Axel.
God.
My best angle, and again, I like that. I loved Sting being unveiled as Rollins' statue. That was cool to me. That's that whole thing of like, oh, Rollins is going to get a statue. And they pull up the curtain and it's Sting. Like, be honest with you, I didn't expect... I expected something to go down with the statue. I didn't expect Sting to be there.
Didn't expect Sting with half a face.
Yeah, because it took him a little while to pull up the curtain.
Yeah,
but
he was sweating under there.
I liked it. I thought it was really cool. Very simplistic. You know, throw us a curveball, but they kind of gave us an extra loop there with bringing Sting in because we didn't think we were going to see Sting again for a while. But it was cool to see Sting and cool to see that match between Sting and Rollins and it. Again, then that whole the next week or the next couple of weeks, and they did the weird thing where Sting pushed the statue into a trash can. But again, I liked the unveiling of Sting as the statue. Sean, what was your best angle?
My best angle was the Brock and Undertaker brawl from Raw.
The
pull apart.
Oh my god! Yeah, that.
I don't know how you guys forgot about that one.
Did you see that?
I have not.
You have not seen.
Oh man!
Okay, so.
Oh, you're missing out, man. That was insane.
Brock Lesnar yelling, "I'm gonna kill you!"
and then Taker saying, "You're gonna have to."
Yeah. Of course, the Taker stare with just his eyes were about to fall out of his head, but that was so cool because it emptied the entire roster. Everyone was out there. Well, most people are out there to separate them. Again, I didn't see like. I don't think I saw Seth Rollins out there or like Bray Wyatt.
No, the main people weren't out there, but that was the perfect way to build the match.
John Cena wasn't out.
No, he wasn't out. Are you kidding me?
But it emptied out like basically everyone from Ryback and Rusev on down were out there just to hold them off, and it was so cool because it was like
it was a great visual.
Yeah, it was a great visual, and there was a lot of symbolism there. Good pick, Sean. There's a lot of good. There's a lot of bad. Now we'll get into the bad. Sean, what was your worst angle of the year?
All right, I'd like to give an honorable mention to Alberto Del Rio returning with Zeb Coulter forming Mex America. But I have to give my worst angle award to Paige, her promo mentioning Ric Flair from Raw.
Oh,
because that is an angle and they shot and. It was in poor taste, and it didn't advance the story or the feud whatsoever. And
if there was ever a time to just not ever bring that up, like it was so unnecessary too. I think that's what really ticked a lot of us off was that was just Steve. I'm sure, and Jobo, if you heard it, just they should have never have done. They didn't have to do that, and they did it anyway.
Jobo's dead.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I don't think I saw that one. I think I missed that one or missed that.
Oh,
lucky you.
Oh, it was so Jobo. Paige was cutting a promo on Ric Flair and Charlotte. You know, talk about the Flairs and Charlotte had said something like,
"Oh, is Reed the son?
Reed's
the one that had a drug overdose. Yeah. So they were saying that you know, like the Flairs are winners and the Flairs never give up." And Paige said something like, "Yeah, your brother Reed, he didn't give up now, did he?" And I was like, "Oh."
Is that like something that like creative had them say?
We don't know.
We still don't know. Ric Flair's ex-wife, the one who was Reed's mother, went on either Facebook or Twitter and went on this scathing thing about like cheap heat and saying that it was just disgusting and not necessary and that
no one
is.
And they didn't ask Ric Flair beforehand either.
Yeah. But I think well, I'm not gonna say heat, but a lot of hate was put on both sides. That like some people just didn't like the fact that Charlotte would went off and just started crying about it, and it was like, and then Paige should have probably have not said it.
It was just in poor taste.
It was really bad.
It was very, very poor taste.
It was really bad. And again, I'll admit this now. That trumps my pick.
I was gonna say I dare you guys to beat that one.
I was gonna say Del Rio tripping on Zeb Coulter's scooter. That was just stupid.
I guess it's an angle. To me, I don't know.
It was during that one match.
Yeah, I know.
He's backpedaling, trips over the scooter. It technically is an angle. It's just a stupid thing. It's small, minute, nothing compared to the Reed thing.
You can change your answer if you want.
No, I think I'm gonna stick with this. The Reed thing to me is so despicable because, you know, just you don't do that. You don't bring up a loss that someone had in their family like that, especially disrespectfully, and something that was supposed to be for a gain but really was just for – it's disgusting, and I'll say that. That probably – if we had a category for the most disgusting thing of the WWE's done this year – it would either be continuing to call the Divas or the Ric Flair thing. I think the Ric Flair thing trumps them all. But anyway, Steve, what was your worst angle of 2015?
My worst angle had to have been when Dolph Ziggler and Rusev were feuding, and Rusev sent Summer Rae into the locker room.
Oh, and she saw his wiener.
While he was showering, and that started like start tension with him and Lana. Yeah, I thought that was so.
Yeah, because she saw him naked.
Yeah, and it was like the thing that really made me laugh about that was like you blatantly saw it was on camera. You saw Summer Rae look both ways and walk into the locker room.
Lana doesn't watch the program.
But it was so funny because later she was saying like, I didn't want to go in there. He called me in there. It's like, no, the cameras were on you. No one said your name.
That was so bad. Yeah, you're
just,
right.
Just for me, that was such a bad angle because it was just like, no, if Lana was aware that there was a TV program going on, she could watch back and see that nothing happened.
You could make a category for the worst Rusev Dolph Ziggler angle, period.
Oh yeah, no, that could be a whole tree of choices in itself.
We could turn Rusev Ziggler into an episode. That was bad. Oh man! But okay, so Jobo, I challenge you.
Have you seen one worse?
Have you seen one?
I don't think I could top the Ric Flair thing. But the one, and again, I don't know if you. I guess you guys can correct me if this is technically an angle or not. But it actually was involving the Ziggler Rusev Lana Summer Rae feud, and that's when Summer Rae proposed to Rusev.
That is an angle.
This was the first time I ever saw Rusev, and you know, seeing him come out like this big giant guy, giant like arrow tattoo on his back, you know, they call him the Bulgarian Brute. He looked pretty cool. And then Summer Rae is like, "Ruru, will you marry me?" And like, he's like, "I will not marry you until I get a belt." Like,
yeah, and then nothing happened.
But like, I was just so aggravated. And then from that point on, every time I saw Rusev, I just got annoyed.
You just thought of Ruru.
Yeah, I thought of Ruru. I thought of that whole arc.
God.
And
I really want to one day just see if I can't like find some way to like hack Rusev's text messages with Lana and just see like if she calls him Ruru. Oh, like Ruru, take the trash out when you're home, honey. I'm like, that's so funny. All right, so our next topic. Well, we're gonna kind of go off.
Worst Rusev moment.
Worst Rusev moments now. Though once again, we could have.
You have a whole show.
He could be such a cool wrestler.
I like Rusev. It's not his fault.
It's not his fault. Oh man.
He's also a funny dude. Like when he's off camera, he's hysterical. He's so funny.
Even when he's on camera, he's funny because like
Remember when he cut that promo before Survivor Series when he was gonna face Ryback. Yeah. And he was like, "I'm going to go out and take out that man that's always hungry." It was just like,
remember when he gave Summer Rae the dead fish?
Yeah,
and he was calling it Lana.
I do.
I do. Oh,
what was it? Well, you gave Lana the dog and called it Dog Ziggler. Like, dude.
Oh, that was so bad.
All right, let's do the best and worst tag teams. Jobo, we'll start with you. Your best tag team.
Should we all just say all right. our best tag team at the same time? Because I think it's going to be the same answer.
Okay. Yeah. All right. One, two, three.
New Day. Yeah. Good day. All right.
New Day is the only
team. Is anyone else kind of getting sick and tired of them, though?
Not yet. They were being overexposed, but I feel like they're sort of ratcheting them back a little bit.
Yeah, when they first came in, people hated them because they were
a weird babyface team, like a John Cena babyface.
But I think we kind of bought into the reason why we don't like them is because they remind us of John Cena. So that kind of they turned him heel, and that's what they should be. They're a very good heel tag team.
They're very entertaining. They're just great on the mic.
Yeah, they're one of the few people on when they speak that it doesn't sound like they're being written for.
Most
people, it sounds like that they're just reciting the lines, whereas a New Day, it sounds like they legitimately came up with these things in their head.
New Day has single-handedly revitalized Kofi Kingston's career.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and they saved Big E like crazy because he can talk now.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't horrible before, but yeah, definitely.
Really, it's
like my favorite one.
He wasn't terrible before, but just like he didn't really get the opportunity to talk because he was just Dolph Ziggler's like silent bodyguard.
Yeah,
and then he did that weird thing where he'd put the chalk on his hands and clap and then run out to the ring.
Oh, that was his big entrance. I remember he was hyping up the when he turned babyface. He's like, "Oh, guys," he was on Twitter. He's like, "I can't wait to show everyone my big entrance," and he just comes out with chalk.
He's like, "Dude, it's not even like that's a poor man's pyro. Like I could do that when I go to
a poor man's Bill Goldberg."
All right, so we have our best tag team. Steve, did you want to say something real quick before we move to our worst?
I was just going to say that the other thing that surprised me about the New Day is how well they work off each other. Like, one person could say something, and it turns into a whole discussion, and there's no pause. They just flow so well between each other.
Yeah, they're clearly very familiar with each other and what they do.
I mean, it's like I've talked about in previous podcasts. They do that up, up, down, down show on YouTube, and they're always hanging out, and they just have such a good rapport with each other, making fun of each other and like hanging out and stuff. They're like legit friends in real life, so it transfers over to the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're perfect tag team. All right, let's talk about our worst tag team. Jobo, once again, I'll give you the start. Your worst tag team.
All right, and now this is a tag team that just doesn't do anything for me. I don't know anything about them.
I have a feeling I know what you're going to say.
And they're just not interesting. They don't say anything. They don't do anything. And that's the Usos.
There we go.
They just don't do anything. They just stand there. They look like skinny rocks. Like that's like what they are. I don't know which one's Jay and which one's Jimmy.
I know Benny's going to agree with you.
And that's a shame. Cause in a tag team, you should have, you know, them be different. Even with like at least the Lucha Dragons, like I can tell which one is which at times.
Oh, that's better than the announced team.
They're supposed to complement each other. I see. Exactly. Jobo, you're right.
The Usos are like just like have like a hive mind. I think they're just like one entity with two forms. Like,
yeah, they look like two potatoes with marker on them. Like that's what they look like. They just like they walk like they're just they're
Benny. That's
they're
racist.
Same thing. Well, again, like. First things first is that I hate the fact they play into the fact they're Samoan. Like, stop. Just enough with.
Well, it's hard to
enough with it.
It's hard to ignore.
it's easy to ignore. Just give them something else. Play into what not. Don't play into what they are. Don't play into their race. Who they are.
I was gonna say Rikishi was Samoan, and they never really played on that. He wore a sumo outfit, and he did breakdancing with Scotty Too Hotty.
It's like Vince said last week to Roman Reigns, if it was 10 years earlier, he would have put a bone in his nose.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah,
ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Like again, just give him something different. Okay, they're Samoan. Great. Who cares?
I don't see
William Regal walking around acting like he's white.
I will say. Well, he is white. I will say that at least, I mean, granted, you're right. They are not complete characters. They barely are characters. But what helped them earlier before all this thing, like they got hurt and everything, they had really good matches, and that's what they were getting over with, is just putting on really good matches. But as characters, they're barely existent.
No, again, Jobo, it goes without saying, you have my backing and my vote as well for the Usos. They're awful. They're arguably the worst. I would say whatever they do, with Los Matadores, whatever they're going to be repackaging them as, it's got to be better than the Usos, because the Usos aren't anything. They're just – they need to be – I would argue that if they don't do anything with them soon, put them in NXT, because they don't need to be on the main roster anymore. That they're pitiful. Anyway, Steve, before I get really angry, who's your worst tag team?
Worst tag team.
Are you going to shock me and say the Usos?
No. No, I'm with you, Sean. They're definitely incomplete, but I don't hate them so much. My worst tag team, I'm surprised no one said this yet, is the Ascension by far. By far, the Ascension is terrible. Like, the thing that makes me mad about the Ascension, too, is, like, I wanted to like them. I have a thing for, like, I have a penchant for, like, creepy, dark, scary characters.
Oh, I bet you do.
Yeah. But I don't know, man. Their debut fell flat, and then they made that terrible comment about Road Warrior and Hawk, and it was just like, you guys just ruined yourselves. And then they went on to get then they went on to team with Stardust and become the Cosmic Wasteland. Ooh,
and then dropped it.
Then drop it, and now one of them's hurt. And it was just the thing that makes them worst for me is they were doing really good in NXT. Like, they were big in NXT, and just to see them come up to the main show and flop so hard.
I would say in NXT they were just a product of having no division there. They weren't that great in NXT.
I feel like they were going over better though.
That's a stretch. Oh, yeah, God. Oh, Vince isn't wearing sleeves.
Vince
oh,
is wearing
wow.
sleeves, and he's doing a lat spread.
Steve, what did I text you after you said that Vince was refereeing this match?
You said that you were asking if he was going to wear sleeves, and yep. by God, no, he's not.
Oh, God. Well, I just want to say, whatever we're going to see, it's going to be a meme soon. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
He's doing the oh, my God.
His face while he's flat. Okay. my worst tag team is a short-lived tag team, but it was clearly the worst. It was Macho Mandow and Axel Mania.
Oh, dude, yeah. I almost didn't consider them because they weren't together for so long, but that was bad.
It was long enough.
Yeah, it's true.
I think that was bad, especially because they had to drop the Axel Mania thing almost immediately because
of Hogan.
Hulk did.
Yeah, but what made it, the whole thing, it would be fine. Like, it would be passable if, like, both guys were good impressions of the person.
They're awful.
But Damian Sandow cannot do a Macho Man. He can't. He doesn't. He barely even looks like him. And then, oh, did you see that?
I did.
Well,
I didn't want to say
anything. Vince just gave the finger.
He gave the finger, but he was like crowding it with his other hand. And
the
camera was on the other side, so the camera totally caught it.
Oh, God.
Vince just gave that dude in the crowd the finger like crazy. That was funny.
Oh, my God.
So much for PG there, Vince.
And Curtis Axel is not a great Hulk Hogan. So to me, and it was hard to find a horrible tag team because, let's be honest, most of them aren't that bad, even the Usos. but I have to give them the award just because I don't want to give it to the Ascension because it's not all their fault. I feel like they do the best with what they can.
It was bad. Bad writing.
Macho Mandow and Axel Mania, I feel they had no chance.
Wasn't the other thing that, like, Damian Sandow came out and said no more impressions?
Yeah, and then he started doing
an impression. The very next day, he's doing one of Macho Man.
Yeah, you're right.
I wanted him to go back to being the intellectual savior of the masses when he would, like...
I thought he was going to. But he didn't.
I'm excited for that because that was my favorite. But,
yeah.
Utter stupidity with these tag teams. Again, I think Axel Mania and the Powers or whatever they were called, that's a good pick. But to me, I almost put the Usos in for least improved. But again, to each his own. There have been a lot of bad tag teams this year. Let's go to worst champion, and then we'll get to match pay per view, and of course our final best and worst champion. Let's start with best champion. Who do you think was the best champion, Sean?
This is easy. Best champion was John Cena.
Woo!
He had the U.S. title open, and he defended it on a weekly basis, and actually made the title, which was meaningless for a long time, actually mean something. And he was a fighting champion. And honestly, if he got the title back, like, normally I'm not a big fan of seeing the title reigns, but this was the first time that I actually had no problems with him holding a title for as long as he did.
I think a lot of it was that it fits his character. Like, you know, he is...
Yes, and also it's not crowding the main event either. Like, he kind of stepped down to the mid-card and was putting on, you know, reasonably good matches, sometimes great matches with
these undercard guys. And I think also, like, a lot of those matches, like, it, like, there's a way to put a guy over when you're and lose. And he did that with Neville, and he did that with Cesaro, he did that with Sami Zayn. Like, these guys you saw, and you were like, okay, they can't beat John Cena now, but they'll be there, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So... Again, I like that pick. And that's going to be my pick as well, Sean. I think John Cena with the U.S. title. Steve, are you...
I'd be surprised if everyone didn't pick that.
Well, Jobo, I don't think Jobo was exposed enough with John Cena with the U.S. title. But again, I think, you know, again, with John Cena, that title is amazing. Steve?
I completely agree. John Cena took, like Sean said, U.S. title didn't mean nothing. It was like another like random title. But like I would get legitimately excited every week to see John Cena's open challenge, because it was always like, who's going to come out this week, or like, what are they going to do this week? I don't know. It was a cool like point to look forward to. I will give an honorable mention to Seth Rollins, because he's such a good like dirty like weak annoying heel.
But was he a good champion?
No, he wasn't a good champion. Like he got carried by the Authority, obviously, but I don't know. He put on some crazy matches though. That guy's a good worker. But it's like
he played the weak sneaky heel character very well as to what he did to the championship. What?
Well, yeah, you're watching Vince bounce his pecs too, Sean.
Yeah.
Oh God.
God. But yeah, no, I'll leave it at John Cena.
Jobo, I don't know if you ever caught John Cena's run with the U.S. title.
I only got two of them. Actually, three technically. One was the one where Dolph Ziggler was supposed to come out, and then New Day came out, and then the one where he actually fought Ziggler, and then the one where he lost to Del Rio. But I think my best champion has to be Sheamus.
Oh, shut up!
no, definitely not. I actually, and here's my thing with John Cena.
God,
I feel like, you know, new fresh face. I feel like if I'd seen him before, I would really get behind him, but I just kind of feel like he's overrated right now. I don't think he's really doing, he did much. At least what I saw, again, you know, starting new, so I can't really fault him for that. I've just never been a fan of, in any sort of thing, a group or an entertainment, sports, anything, where you can clearly tell who the favorite is.
Yeah.
And because they keep giving that person things. Mm-hmm. I've never been a fan of that. But I do have to say that John Cena did do something with the belt. Like you guys were saying, the rest just kind of just held on to the belt and fought. Cena had the open challenge and had other people gave them a chance to come out and try and claim it. Of course, they weren't going to do it until right before he went on break. But I do have to admit that, you know, my personal feelings on that character aside, I do like what he did with that whole concept.
Yeah, again, not always do you have to defend the belt every night, but it was nice to see the U.S. Open Challenge because, again, the program has a ring to it, U.S. Open Challenge. Of course, it's also a golf thing too and a tennis thing. But again, it was a cool thing. It was a cool storyline, a cool gimmick, and John Cena played it perfectly. All right, let's get to our worst title reigns. I say reigns with a pun. Sean, do you want to start us off with that?
Yes, the worst champion of this entire year. I can't think of anyone else that was even worse. Sheamus. It's clear, obviously, Sheamus.
You think Sheamus?
Sheamus. He had... think about it. I mean, actually, I'll get to that a little later. But Sheamus had the title for what? A month, maybe? And he was only put in that position so people would cheer Roman Reigns when he eventually won the title. He was a transitional champion, and he was a bad transitional champion.
Yeah. I am going to argue with that. I think Ryback as the Intercontinental Champion was pretty bad, because what did he do with it?
Yeah, they tried to build it up when he won the Chamber match.
No, it was stupid. And
okay.
Like, it was just, it was a, like, give it to someone where we're gonna like we're gonna learn a little bit more about their character and someone that's not gonna be such an evidently a transitional.
You didn't
guy
like that, his feud with the Big Show and the Miz.
Oh, I'll get to the Big Show in a little bit, but it was just stupid. Stupidity at its best, and just again they wanted to give him a title reign to make him seem he's the big guy. Ryback's been around for a while. No, I'm not buying it because he's just not that good. Steve.
I would definitely – I'd have to say, even though he's another one of those guys where I want to like him, but you can't. Sheamus as WWE World Heavyweight Champion was horrible to watch. Like, it was just so bad. You have another cool big guy who could be really, really awesome, and they just sunk him. Cause
yeah, we had a pretty animated terrible conversation about Sheamus. Again, I want to like Sheamus.
Terrible writing.
I even kind of want to like Ryback, but the bottom line is Ryback can't wrestle, and the writing for Sheamus is – they could pull someone out of the crowd, give him 5 minutes, they could write a better story for Sheamus and what they did.
You mean Santino Marella? I love
Jobo saved
pulled him out of the crowd.
Alright, I do have to agree with you on Sheamus. He's not my pick, but I do have to agree with you that he was obnoxious. The whole part where when Roman had the tables, ladders, and chairs, and Sheamus was like, oh, you're just going to hit me with the ladder. And then he takes out the ladder. Like, that was just awful. That was very painful. And then the whole tater tots is just awful. But my worst champion,
smug
and again,
tater tots.
Yeah, smug the tater tots. But
I feel you're going diva here.
What's that?
I said, I feel like you're going diva here.
Oh, yeah. but my least favorite champion during the period that I've watched it, there hasn't been a lot of title changes. But I think the worst one is for me personally is Alberto Del Rio.
Oh.
And that's just cause it's this guy, he's returned. I knew he was a big guy just based on the reaction of when Zeb Coulter announced him. And you know, then all of a sudden he just became Sheamus's lackey. He didn't do anything. Well, he doesn't have his own identity. He doesn't seem like a champion to me. Well, he just seems like just a guy in the League of Nations.
Well, not only that, they spent all this time building up the U.S. title, and then they put him on put the title on him and do nothing. The title is just almost in the same spot as it was before.
You don't even like when he comes out. You don't even see it around his waist or anything. You just like when he runs out like in the League of Nations. It's like almost like it's Alberto Del Rio, the U.S. champion, and Alberto Del Rio. He's in the League of Nations.
And he doesn't defend it either.
Well, yeah, he doesn't defend it, and he doesn't have a program with anyone right now. Like, come Royal Rumble, what's he gonna do? Who's he gonna
fight?
He's
in the Rumble.
Why not give him Bray Wyatt or someone like that wants the U.S. championship?
That's a heel and heel.
Yeah, heel and heel has a history of not working too good.
Give him something. Give him someone to wrestle that's not Dean Ambrose or Roman Reigns or whoever else he's been up against. I agree with you. I don't think he's the worst champion, but I agree with you. He's not a good one either.
Hey, you put up a good argument.
they've indirectly have almost destroyed 50% of what John Cena built up with the U.S. Championship. All right, we're going to get to matches, the best and worst match on a pay-per-view. Now, again, the reason I said pay-per-view is because if we opened it up to everything, there are so many matches with NXT, Raw, SmackDown, the list goes on and on. It would be hard to pick the worst one because there have been a lot of awful ones. Also, it would kind of be difficult to pick the best one, but...
Yeah, worst one was easy for me. That was the first thing I thought of.
So let's talk about the we're going to start with the worst match only because the best ones we probably have that one signature best one that. But anyway, I want to start the worst one. Sean, what's your worst match?
It's funny. It's a match I saw live. The Royal Rumble match from this past year is the worst match of the year.
The entire Royal Rumble match. Wow.
They completely misbooked the entire thing, having Bryan come in at 10 and then be eliminated by 15. He was only in there for five entrants. And then you have Reigns come out and basically just, you know, take a nap for the whole time. And you have Big Show and Kane obliterating everyone. These guys who are 40 years old, just actually, Kane's over 40. He's 50 years old, almost 50.
Yeah, Kane's really old.
Yeah, obliterating people. Just throwing – Dolph Ziggler gets a number 30 spot and literally is in the ring for a minute and just obliterating people. Bray Wyatt, who's built the entire match, gets no payoff at the end whatsoever because he just gets thrown out by the Big Show and Kane. And then you have Reigns come back and throw almost everyone out with the help of The Rock for some reason. And then they do a babyface spot at the end with a heel with Rusev sneak attacking Roman Reigns thinking that he's going to win. And then Reigns throws him out. Completely miscast. Everything about that match makes no sense. And to me, that's why
it sounds it was that you saw it live versus
it doesn't matter. Honestly, if it wasn't live, I would have still picked it because it was just so badly put together. I also want to give an honorable mention to the Intercontinental Elimination Chamber match from earlier in the year too.
Ryback won it. Yeah,
the one that Ryback won because that match just had a ton of miscues and botches in it. But the Royal Rumble match for me is the worst match of the year.
Okay, again, I don't think you can really go wrong with the worst match. But Jobo, in your short time span of watching, can you pick a worst match? Did you watch? I don't think you ever watched that Royal Rumble from last year. But
I didn't actually. The only pay per view experience that I have is I saw a handful of fights in Hell in a Cell, the best ones, and I missed Survivor Series, and then I watched all of TLC.
Okay.
And I think it's going to have to come from TLC. The worst match that I saw was Ryback and Rusev. It was just a snooze fest. I'm personally not a fan of the matches where it's just two big guys kind of hitting each other. Yep. I kind of want more in the fights, and that was just two guys fighting each other. And just everything involving those two. Ryback accidentally bumps into Lana, but this time Lana was faking it. Like, come on, just give me a break. So that, I mean, it's probably not like the worst. It's like in the span of the entire year.
It's just not a good match. And it's something that like on a pay-per-view that needed a little bit of extra help because they really didn't go long with a lot of their matches. They went, I remember them going a little bit longer with this match, if I'm correct.
It was a kind of a longer match, unnecessarily long.
I think this match actually went longer than Owens Ambrose. Am I right, Sean? I
don't know. It's hard to say. I don't remember.
But yeah, I see where you're coming from. Really quickly, mine also features Ryback. It's Ryback Big Show from Money in the Bank.
Remember that match.
Exactly.
Did that happen?
I had to go back and watch it. It was a snooze fest.
Why did you watch
it? It was a boring, like, 5 or 6 minute match that featured all the same spots Ryback usually has.
Yeah, see, that to me, that's more forgettable. I went for something that was actually made me angry, as opposed to forget.
Big guy versus big guy, and it was just pathetic. So, Jobo, we're in agreement. Two big guys in the ring. Don't do it. Steve, your main event in this time. What was your worst match?
My absolute worst cringeworthy match had to be Paige and Charlotte after the infamous Ric Flair segment. I couldn't remember the pay-per-view.
Survivor Series.
It was Survivor Series. That match made me physically ill with how awkward and clumsy and lack of chemistry there was. It was so bad. Like, it was so bad. I'm getting physically angry thinking about how bad it was right now. Like, I just couldn't – I'm watching and like as even though I said I don't like Charlotte, she's a good wrestler. She had some good matches in NXT. Like, she's capable. And Paige – oh, my God. Paige has been wrestling since she was, what, like 12, 11? She knows what she's doing. And two, like, somewhat good wrestlers could put on something that's at least, I don't know, passable maybe. But they were missing shots and they were hesitating. There was no flow. There would be, like, a little bit of action then a big pause. Felt like the girl version of Lesnar versus Goldberg at WrestleMania 20.
Oh, well, there was also the difference is there was no reaction for the Charlotte Paige match.
I was gonna say that to me that put that match into a different category. Like the fact that no one wanted to see that.
No one cared. That was a big thing at the pay-per-view. You could tell like they walked out and everybody was just like, all right, snack break.
let's get positive now. Getting angry. Let's get positive. Sean, your best match of the year.
Easy. Sasha Banks versus Bayley from NXT TakeOver Brooklyn.
Okay. Bottom, that's it?
Yeah, it was clearly the best match. It had the emotion behind it. It had great ring work between the two. Both characters were over. The crowd loved it. I mean,
at the amazing final spot that almost killed Sasha.
You just can't get any better than that. I mean, obviously, I think a lot of people are going to be saying Cena and Owens, but to me, as and I would assume they're talking Elimination Chamber. To me, the Sasha and Bayley match is just that much better than Owens and Cena.
Jobo, what was your best match?
Mine, and I mentioned it earlier, has to be Brock versus Taker, Hell in a Cell. You had the big guy, and then you had like kind of a, I don't want to say that the Undertaker smaller, but compared to Brock Lesnar, he's kind of the smaller fighter. Just what they were doing, tearing up the ring, they were bleeding. Like it was just intense.
I don't think they were supposed to be bleeding.
Yeah, no, they definitely, but they were.
There are zoo animals that are smaller than Brock Lesnar.
Yes.
It just seemed to me like that was like what a WWE pay-per-view main event should be.
Yeah,
just
emotional,
destructive.
Yeah.
Peeled back the layers, and for a second we didn't think we were watching something that was fake. We thought we were watching, well, again, we were watching something that, you know, we all know is scripted, but the bottom line is this wasn't about us, this was about them.
And we
bought into it.
Yeah, I still think that the first Hell in a Cell match they had back in 2002 between the two of them is actually better than this one, but you know, obviously, I think that they wanted to make up for that
Vince
horrible...
Vince McMahon just stood up in his office and said, "What is he talking about? That never happened."
I think they wanted to make up for that awful WrestleMania match that they had, and that's why they...
Well,
I mean,
WrestleMania or SummerSlam?
WrestleMania.
You think the WrestleMania, what do you think was worse than the SummerSlam one?
Oh, absolutely. The WrestleMania match where the streak ended was an awful match. Like, it was really bad. And that's because Taker was concussed for almost the whole time.
Brock beat the heck out of him.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously, other than the finish of the SummerSlam match was a good match, other than the finish.
Yeah.
And then obviously the Hell in a Cell was probably the best of the most current ones that they had.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Who's next?
I'll go next. My best match, Sean, you alluded to it, Owen Cena, Elimination Chamber. I was on the edge of my seat the entire time. Like, again, with Cena's stigma of, you know, he always wins. Cena always wins every feud. He's always going to win the first match. It was almost shocking to see Kevin Owens win. Like, I was like, what happened? He just pinned John Cena. And again, like we've said it before, John Cena has a stigma to bury talent, and for them to actually allow Kevin Owens to win, and again, the match was perfect. Owens versus Cena, match of the year.
All right, did we get everyone's match? Best match?
We didn't get Steve. Steve, your main eventing for pay per view matches. Who was your
man? Twice in a row, I feel like Seth Rollins. Definitely, I would have to agree with Sean. Sasha versus Bayley was I will give an honorable mention to Owens versus Cena because that match was insane and I was on the edge of my seat and I loved it. But the Sasha versus Bayley thing had so much more a significance to it.
It broke a mold.
It did, because for the longest time, we have had the cruddiest, worst women's wrestling. Like we all know that. We've discussed it at length at the beginning of the podcast. Yep. But they went out there, these two girls, Bayley and Sasha, went out there, and they showed that women can still kick butt. They can go out there and put on shows better than a lot of the guy wrestlers. Mm-hmm. And they you could just tell that they put everything into it. They held nothing back. And the moment that they all shared at the end of the match, I almost legitimately teared up, because it was just such a beautiful exchange between like friends who have worked so hard together. And it was... I don't know. That match really touched a chord with me, and I was almost like proud of them in a weird way, even though it's not my place to be proud of them at all.
Well, you know, they're like a daughter to you.
Yeah, and except they're like one. Is
except they're hot.
Like, yeah, that's like the daughter that I would like to have relations with.
They're
Sasha.
They're like your hot daughter.
again,
Sasha, if you're listening, I have my phone number.
If we were on the flagship show, I'd go even further than that.
I think, again, like when we watch Sasha and Bayley and even Becky Lynch, we watch people that, like, again, like, I think this is part of why NXT is so cool, because, like, these are our favorite wrestlers. They're not the WWEs yet, so we still have time to appreciate them more over than we can when they're on the roster. So again, like, we watched that match and we were just tearing up. Like, I cried at the end of Star Wars. You cried at the end of the Sasha Bayley match. Again, it's an amazing match. I don't think you can pick a bad match, like, with the out of these three matches we've mentioned. Like,
yeah, I cried at the end of the Royal Rumble, but that's for a different reason.
I did too, but it was for a completely different reason.
I remember I was screaming. I was screaming at my TV. I was like, why? But
it has been, it has been so long, since The Rock got booed. Like, just
that.
Because
okay.
They weren't just booing Roman. I mean, they were obviously booing Roman, but they were totally booing The Rock.
Yeah, too. And it affected The Rock too, because if you saw that backstage promo that he had with Reigns after the match, he almost couldn't do it. Like, he kept stumbling over his words, and Rock never does that.
When you affect The Rock emotionally, that's big. And I almost think The Rock, like, after that, I would hope he went back to, like, Vince's office and said, "Dude, we have to change something.
Can we please, like, talk about the fact that..."
Yeah, what is going on?
Roman is stalking Stephanie in the ring.
Oh, God.
Is he going to handcuff her to the rope and kiss her in front of Vince?
Maybe he's going to put Vince on the turnbuckle and shock his balls.
What the hell is going on?
I think he's about to spear Vince. I'm sorry, I'm distracting from the show, but this is insane.
We'll cut that one part out about Vince's
testicle. No, anyway. We won't.
Okay, well, we'll cut that part. I mean, saying that. All right.
No.
finally, we'll get to our superstar of the year, best and worst superstar. Because the best superstar is a lot more prominent than the worst superstar. Jobo, I want to hear your worst superstar so far.
Okay, worst superstar so far, and I'm sure in the grand scheme of things, he really isn't the worst. It's just the one that just doesn't do anything for me, and we've bashed him a lot this episode, and it has to be Rusev. I can't stand the guy. Every time he's the first person you see when the League of Nations, their obligatory appearance in a Reigns versus Sheamus fight just irritates me. His storylines are pointless and boring. His matches just don't do anything for me. Rusev's my worst superstar of the year, of six months, I should say.
It's hard for me to not like Rusev, because he can be so funny and so cool at the same time. But I can see it again. Like, he's always like, it's kind of like he's being like accidentally shoved down your face a little bit. I can see. Steve, who's your worst superstar?
Dolph Ziggler.
Ooh. Dolph, really?
I hate Dolph Ziggler. Oh my God. I can't even begin to tell you how much I don't like Dolph Ziggler.
I'm sitting back in my chair right now.
I can't stand the guy. I think he's terrible. He's got a dumb gimmick. He obviously doesn't care about the company, and he's vocally said he doesn't care about the company. He's Dolph Jobber. Like, I can't stand him.
Didn't he recently say that it's been known that he's going to retire in 2 years?
Yeah, he's made it obvious. He's like, if nothing happens, I'm out of here. Which, I mean, to be fair, I would be too if I was, like, totally jobbing like him.
Yeah.
But
it's starting to trickle into his ring work, I think. Yeah. I think that's where you're coming from. And it's a shame, because he could be something cool, and, you know,
he had a cool period there. Like, when he was, like, when he had AJ Lee and Big E and stuff, I thought he was cool then.
It's a shame what they've done with him. My worst superstar, Sean, I hope we're on the same page here, Roman Reigns. He is not only my least improved, but he's the worst superstar on this roster. And it's unfortunate, because they prop him into the main events and they shove him down our throat, but he doesn't have a move set. It's five moves of doom. It's worse than what Kevin Nash had. He very well could go down right now as the worst technical wrestler on this roster. I really do think he's the worst technical wrestler on this roster. And there's nothing to him. He can't do anything. Like, his promos are awful. You can't rely on him to do a match right now it's tough with him working with Sheamus because it's tough to watch these matches because they're kind of boring, you know. But to me, he's my worst superstar. Sean?
I did not agree with you on this one. I actually, to be honest, I'm a little distracted at what's going on because I have no idea what's going on. I think Steve can confer. My worst superstar of the year is Sheamus. I'll give an honorable mention to Roman Reigns, but it has to be Sheamus. I mean, let's just break this down. So he comes back from injury after WrestleMania
with a stupid mohawk,
with a new look, new music, and basically that's it. Like, he hasn't changed his character one bit.
He doesn't say fella anymore.
Oh well, thank the Lord for that. he wins Money in the Bank, becomes irrelevant, loses to Randy Orton every week, and then just randomly loses tag matches, loses to, in Survivor Series.
He took the pin in one weird. What was the one he took the pin in?
The Survivor Series match.
Yeah, no, not this. It was another one. It was.
Well, he did Survivor Series.
He took the pin in Survivor Series in that tag match he was in.
Yeah, and then he ends up winning the belt and becoming even less relevant than he was before, and cashing in his Money in the Bank briefcase. And the only person that I could say who probably had a worse Money in the Bank run was probably Daniel Bryan, even though at the end of that, they actually turned it around and made it into something, whether they purposely tried to or not, as opposed to this, where he cashed in and still no one cared. So to me, for someone who has done all that in 1 year and to still be in no position to be a top star, he has to be the worst superstar of the year.
Again, I want to like Sheamus so much, mainly because of my disdain for Roman Reigns. But again, to each his own. Our best superstars. I'll start this one off. I'll say the best superstar of the year was Seth Rollins. That man can do it all. I say this because the entire year they tried to build him up as he needs to be a man. He's a man now. That match with Sting right after the John Cena match, oh my God, that was amazing. Both of those matches were amazing. Not match of the year candidates, but still there. And the fact that he did back-to-back matches, had to stay out there the entire time. They weren't short matches either. He can do it all. He's the total package. He is Edge meets Shawn Michaels, and it's perfect. Like, he's the perfect wrestler for them right now. And it's a shame that he tore his knee, but it just props to him. That man can do it all. So, Steve, who's your wrestler of the year?
My wrestler of the year, definitely for me, was even though he's kind of floundering now, was definitely Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens.
I don't know. Something with that guy really clicked with me. He just, like, he hit the scene. He made a big impact. He did good. He did awesome in NXT. Did some great work. Came up to the roster, the main roster, and he had the great series with Cena, which ended badly. I wish he hadn't gone out with a loss. But
two losses.
Yeah, two. Yeah, sorry. Right,
not necessarily that, but like the second loss, they could have dirtied that up a little bit. They did a tap out. I thought it was stupid.
I don't know. For me, he has so much potential, and he just, like, he could be like one of the greatest heels, like, possibly ever. And he just, I don't know. I really like his style, but yeah.
Again, I think, like, there's a relational factor with all of us to Kevin Owens. So I like the pick, Steve. Again, you can't go wrong with Rollins. Can't go wrong with Owens. But Jobo, do you stray away from
Triple H guys?
Both Triple H guys, yes. Jobo, are you kind of in agreement with us, or do you have a different guy?
You're gonna think I'm a lunatic, but Braun Strowman is great.
All right, I'm hanging up on you now, Jobo.
I'm leaving. It's the end of the show.
No, of course not. Benny, I actually have to agree with you with Seth Rollins. He just was a really, really good heel and just a really, really good character. I was invested in every fight he was in. I liked the stuff, and it's a shame he got injured, because I think had he not got injured, we would have been spared all of this, you know, Roman Reigns Sheamus nonsense. And again, I can't blame Seth Rollins for getting injured. No. It's just what happens when you're in this line of work. But just everything that I saw from him just got me really hyped for when he does come back and he's able to really, you know, do his thing again.
Yeah, he's perfect. And again, it helps that he has probably one of the best sets of mic skills on the roster. But Jobo, again, it's good we agree. Sean, hoping we agree on at least one thing outside of New Day.
Well, I have a question. Okay. Is this best wrestler or best superstar?
Combination of the both.
Because I have an answer for each.
Okay.
And I want to know which one I should give my answer for.
Because best,
it matters. Well,
I have a theory.
I'll do superstar if you want.
Okay. I want to hear superstar, then I want to hear your wrestler.
Best superstar.
Sean, of course, is the senior, I guess you could say, the grand master.
He's called
of
me old.
All his
My best superstar is Finn Balor.
Okay.
If you want to look at the year that he's had, you go, you know, when he, obviously he won the NXT title halfway through the year, but even earlier in the year, he having great matches on a week and week basis, having, you know, really good matches on the NXT TakeOver shows with Tyler Breeze. And, and you know, he has had the two really good matches with Kevin Owens, the one ladder match too. Yep. And the Samoa Joe match. And basically, he's been the workhorse of NXT, especially considering how both Sami Zayn and Hideo Itami have been out. He's basically been carrying the male division of NXT.
I am really interested to see when Sami Zayn and him meet.
And this is where the cutoff is that he's a good talker, too. Like, they play to his strengths, too. He doesn't cut these outrageous promos. He's a solid talker on the mic, and he's great in the ring.
Yep.
Now, I say him for superstar because as far as superstar goes, that's a complete package. You need both the mic skills and the ring skills.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing against Seth Rollins, but if we were talking best wrestler, I would go Seth Rollins. Because as a character, and I know I heard what you guys said, but as a character, Seth Rollins is not a complete character.
Well, again, he's a split character because on pay-per-views he's different from his.
On a pay-per-view, he doesn't really cut promos. He just goes out and wrestles, which is actually kind of babyface if you think about it.
Yep.
But as a character, like he loses a lot. He's very whiny. He's almost like the
Anakin Skywalker.
Well, he's kind of like the angry little child to the authorities, grown-ups. You know. Like he's not displayed as a good champion on television, and then he goes on pay-per-view and sometimes Raw and has these amazing matches. To me, that's an incomplete character, and nothing against. He's doing the best he can with what he's given.
Yeah,
but his heel character is a bit over the top. You know, when he does a ha 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 ha, just like an over the top, like, you know, curling your mustache while putting the woman on the train tracks. You know. Evil person laugh.
Snidely whiplash, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's a little too much for me. So if that's why I have to go in between the two. If you want best wrestler, I'll give you Rollins, but if you're going just overall superstar
it's
I'm
Finn
going
Balor.
Finn Balor.
I can't argue with that. Again, Finn Balor, when he comes to this main roster, he's going to light this place on fire. But unfortunately, as we've said before, this roster has two giant mountains they have to overcome. The first one is a climbable one in John Cena.
Those mountains are Vince McMahon's pecs.
And the other one's Vince McMahon. Unfortunately, Vince McMahon, because he always has to have the final say with writing, with everything. A lot of the reasons why, again, and why I want to stick up for some of the worst we did. It's not all their fault that the worsts we picked are where they're at.
Oh, no, not at all.
They're not given the best to work with.
I don't know. I blame Brie Bella.
She's not very good. Eva Marie, that, like, there's no writing in the world that can save her. But, Jobo, I've always wanted to ask you this, and we've talked about this, you know, in our group chats.
How big is it?
Oh, my God, Sean.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. We're not on the flag show.
You'll have to snip that out. But, Jobo.
No.
What's your opinion of the WWE in the 6 months you've watched?
What is my opinion of the WWE in the 6 months? It's very entertaining. Good or bad, you have something to say. It gives you stuff to talk about each week. And again, the good, the bad. You get an opinion. Whether you're a moderate fan or you're a diehard fan, and I like that. However, jumping into it and seeing it from a newcomer's standpoint, and then hearing about, you know, the good old days, and hearing and seeing the fights on like YouTube and stuff, and hearing the stories, and just the references, I feel like it's an organization that has kind of lost its way in a way, isn't taking the risks that it did. Back in the day. And do I think it's completely lost? No.
I think that it can be saved with the talent. You have people, from what I hear in NXT, who are amazing. If you take kind of the NXT style and bring it to the mainstream, I think a lot of people would like that. And unfortunately, it's kind of sad to say, but I think when Vince McMahon goes, then the organization could change for the better, as sad as that is to say.
Yeah.
Whether he steps down or something else.
I've drawn the parallel before that the WWE is a lot like the Dallas Cowboys. It's ran by a crazy old man that the day he dies, Jerry Jones, the day he dies is the day Dallas will finally win something. And unfortunately, it's the same with the WWE. It's Vince McMahon, you know, again, right now he's the special referee in a match on Raw. And, you know, bless his heart, you can see it's not there anymore.
I still like my analogy between Vince McMahon and George Lucas.
yeah.
I think it's a perfect analogy.
Yeah, how weird would Star Wars look if George Lucas still had his fingers fully in the pot?
Well, he can't fit that many.
Benny.
But you're right. Steve?
Benny, I've actually got two announcements I feel like should be announced.
Are we talking about the signings to NXT?
Yeah, did you read about that with AJ?
Yes.
They're official?
Yeah. Yeah, it's official. AJ, here, hold on. I have the list right here.
It's not just AJ.
It's AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura, Doc Gallows, and Carl Anderson.
Oh my God!
And then the other announcement was the ending of Raw. This Royal Rumble, Roman Reigns is going to be in the Royal Rumble, and he has to defend his title against all 29 other superstars.
Oh,
that's
no!
Stupid.
Yep.
That's
so now,
stupid.
So either I'm telling you right now, either Reigns will win and win another Rumble, or Triple H will get involved and screw him out of the title, and that sets up their WrestleMania match.
I don't.
That is so.
Isn't
the whole point of Royal Rumble supposed to be that what you win is a spot in WrestleMania?
How are they going to figure out who's?
So I'm telling you right now, Roman's going to enter first, and he's going to have to not get eliminated. Because the whole thing, Vince cut a promo, like it was like, isn't it one versus all? Isn't it one versus all? So he's going to enter first and have to stay in there the whole time.
Can we go back to talking about NXT?
Yeah, please.
I was about to say, Steve, I love you, but you just built me up and then ripped my heart out in one news report.
This was like
on the news, like Eagles won a big one this Sunday, and also a man was murdered. Like it's like, oh my God,
absolutely terrible. You guys were talking about it, like all the current situation with WWE, and I'm listening to you guys, and I'm slowly watching the end of this match, and listening to Vince, I'm like, no, don't say it. I'm just like, I can't believe it. So. Either Reigns is going to win two Royal Rumbles in a row, or, they're just going to set up Triple H and Reigns because that's what they're all building to.
But then who's in the title match? And Brock has to be in this Rumble.
There's going to be no title match at Rumble.
Yeah, I understand that, but who's in the title match at Mania?
Whoever wins this Royal
Vacant.
Rumble.
Put Vacant in there.
I mean, if Brock's in the Rumble, he has to win.
Yeah, no, he won't. He won't lose. Brock would never sign for something like that. He shows up six times a year. He's not going to show up for something pointless.
I seriously.
All right, we'll hit on this another time.
We could go off forever.
Yeah.
Plug our Twitters and leave before I say something. Follow me at BNP_Express, Sean.
I am at the_Brackshow on Twitter.
Jobo.
But Benny, AJ Styles.
AJ Styles, Benny. Great.
And Shinsuke Nakamura.
They're ruining the Royal Rumble, Sean.
Nakamura, he's coming. Oh, you don't know who that is. I forgot. Jobo.
All right. I usually, if you listen to the flagship show, I usually don't post.
Well, would you
Twitter,
like to?
Would you like to give
George Lucas's Twitter account?
Georgie Porgy 69. I will actually plug my Twitter today. If you want to follow me, I'm at JoboCop 93.
I'm all kinds of screwed up with this Royal Rumble announcement. Steve, Saiyan Barbarian.
Saiyan Barbarian. S-A-I-Y-A-N Barbarian. One word.
All right. Thank you very much, Joe Bo and Steve, for being on this podcast. Thank you for listening. As always, thanks, Sean, for being the producer of it. And, of course, you know, thank you for being a wrestling fan, a sports fan, and being a fan of the Blah Blah podcast. Just whatever you do, don't enter yourself in the Royal Rumble because you'll get thrown out by Roman Reigns. This is unbelievable. I'm done. All right. Bye.